Good evening. Thank you, David. I'm glad to see all of you here tonight. I welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I thank you all for being here. So tonight, we're going to talk about stuff that's going on in the world. Of course, there's a lot of things that are affecting everybody everywhere. People are kind of losing their minds over stuff. And tonight I want to be able to give you a little bit of peace in your hearts and in your minds, that you'll feel okay, and that you'll realize that God has a plan in place to take care of us, okay? And tonight's sermon is called God Has a Plan. So, to start, let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. You know, God knows everything that's going on, and he has got everything planned out from the very beginning of creation. He's put everything in place that he wants in place, and he knows exactly when he wants to put something in action. And so he has things that he has lined up, and he just waits for the right time. So chapter 8, verse 1 of Matthew says, this is talking about Jesus Christ. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Do you remember, how many of you have received a blessing of being healed or something like that? I mean, I know I have. Yeah, okay. So when God blessed you and you were healed, what did you do with the information? Anybody? You shared it. Me too. How about the rest of you? Yes, you shared it. You came and you told us, right? For sure. Probably shared it with your neighbors, family members and stuff. Yeah? So he healed him of leprosy. In verse 4 says, and Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Would you be able to stay quiet? Or would you just tell everybody? Well, this guy was told by Jesus to tell nobody and just go tell the priest that he needed to offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for being cleansed from leprosy. And he did. Okay? So turn to the book of Leviticus. Just think about what was going on at the time. Because Jesus had a reputation. The priesthood knew who he was. They were not appreciative of him. At least most of them weren't. And his apostles or disciples were kind of, come on, let's go, let's do it. And Jesus tells this guy, don't tell nobody. Just go talk to the priest and tell him, I want to offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for being cleansed from leprosy. So here we are. This is what had to happen. If you're going to follow the law of Moses, especially as a priest, here you go. This is what you got to do when this happens. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. You go knock on the door of the temple there in Jerusalem, say, Hey, I've been cleansed of leprosy. Yeah. Verse 3, And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. So the priest goes with this guy who's been healed outside of town, someplace private, checks him all out, and sees that, yeah, this guy's been healed of leprosy. He's got brand new baby skin in all the places where he was infected, and the leprosy's gone. Okay. Verse 4, Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day, so he's going to just be walking around in camp. He's not going to go into his tent at all, and everybody gets to see him. Okay? But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows. Even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. Okay, so this has to happen. This is what this guy is going to have to do. And the priest has to make sure that it gets done. And the priest has to get together all this stuff for the sacrifice that has to be made. And on the eighth day, he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3 tenth deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So that priest has to bring this guy that's been healed of leprosy to the door of the temple. In front of everybody. Here's this guy, got no eyebrows, no hair, nothing. Looks kind of odd. People have seen him walking around outside in Jerusalem for 7 days now. He can't go into his home. Everybody's seeing him. And they're like, what's going on? I've been healed of leprosy and I'm doing my sacrifice. That's what's going on. And the priest that maketh him, before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall take 1 he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Right there in front of the door of the temple, he does all this stuff. This is what the priest got to do. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering, and the burnt offering in the holy place, for as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. So here's this priest doing all this stuff right there at the door of the temple, and there's people that are watching because nobody has ever seen this been done before. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering, and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor and cannot get, so God even has it planned out, if you don't have enough money to get all the stuff together for the sacrifice, it's okay. We're going to change it for the poor a little bit. But all of the stuff still has to be done. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And even if you're poor, the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the Lord. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, with the meat offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. So that's a lot of stuff that this guy's got to do, this priest, okay? And all the priesthood knows this is going to happen. This has to be done because we have to keep the law of Moses. If we don't, the people are going to hear about it and they're going to revolt. We've got to do this. Right? Yeah. We don't want to do this. None of us wants to stand up in front of the door of the temple and tell all the people, by the way, this man right here, we checked him all out. Yeah, he's been cleansed of leprosy, and we didn't do it. It was Jesus. Jesus did it. And so there you go. It's not what we want, but this is what happened, and this is actually the only guy who's ever been cleansed of leprosy by another human being. Okay? There was one other guy in the scriptures that is recorded that says he was cleansed of leprosy. That was Naaman, captain of the guard of Assyria, of the Assyrian army. The Assyrian king sent him to Jerusalem, because he heard that the king in Israel had the ability to cleanse people of leprosy. And he gets there, and the king doesn't know what to do, because he don't have the ability to do it. But the priest, or the prophet, it was Isaiah or Elias. Don't remember which one. Anybody remember the story? It was Elias, right? Elijah, thank you. Okay. The guy goes to Elijah's house because Elijah tells the king, send him over. I'll take care of it. Guy comes to Elijah's house And his servant comes to the door and says, my master said to go dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan, you'll be cleansed of your leprosy. And the captain of the Assyrian army is like, what? I thought for sure that this guy was going to come out and place his hand on my chest and say, be healed, and I'd be healed. You want me, and he's not even coming to the door? You want me to just go dip myself in the Jordan River 7 times? Well, why did I come all the way here? I could have dipped myself in the Euphrates River. It's a lot cleaner river, a lot nicer place, and this is ridiculous. But he gets convinced by one of his servants to go ahead and try it. And sure enough, God heals that man of his leprosy. That's the only other guy in the scriptures that says they were ever cleansed of leprosy until a couple more later on down the road, Jesus did it again. But this guy here had to go to the priest, the one that Jesus healed, and do all of this stuff because God had a plan. And he wanted to show the people and have it be a bigger deal than even just giving a testimony. Because the priests had to admit that Jesus healed a leper. Because they had to keep the law of Moses, and they got caught in it. So God has plans for everything. If he can plan this out, you know, the law of Moses is what, 1,500 years before Christ? Something like that. If God can have this sitting there waiting, just waiting for this to happen, do you think he might have some things in place planned out on how he's going to take care of us when all the stuff from the world comes knocking on our door? All of the craziness that's out there right now? Yeah. God said, I will take care of you. He said it over and over in the scriptures. Turn to the first book of Nephi, chapter 7. Start at verse 22. This is on page 74 in the Book of Mormon, chapter 7, 1 Nephi, verse 22 says, "Where the Lord God, wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations, and bring about his covenants and his gospel unto them which are of the house of Israel. Wherefore he will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to the lands of their first inheritance. And they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. And they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And the blood of that great and abominable church, which is the whore of all the earth, shall turn upon their own heads. For they shall war among themselves. And the sword of their own hand shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. And they shall fall into the pit which they digged to ensnare the people of the Lord. And all which fight against Zion shall be destroyed. And that great whore which hath perverted the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and abominable church, shall tumble to the dust, and great shall be the fall of it. For behold, saith the prophet, that the time cometh speedily, that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they which do wickedly shall be as stubble, and the day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire." Even if God has to cook them, your enemies will be destroyed. If he has to burn them up, he'll do it. It's a promise. It's written right here in the book. "Wherefore the righteous need not fear, For thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come. Yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come, and it must needs be upon the face of this earth. And it cometh unto men according to the flesh, if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. For behold, the righteous shall not perish, for the time surely must come that all they which fight against Zion shall be cut off. So he's going to take care of us, no matter what. Are we all going to make it through to the end? No. Some of us will have to die. It just says so. I'm sorry. And probably might be me, because I won't keep my mouth shut, you know? And if that's the way it is, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be all right. It says so. If they kill me for it, I'm going to be okay. So don't worry about me or the rest of us that can't keep our mouths shut. Okay? All right. Now, let's turn to the book of Revelation. Let's see some of the stuff that we might have to deal with. Some of us, probably. Some of us might not live that long to see this happen. But I imagine some of us are going to see this. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. This is a guy that's going to be in charge of everything. Okay? This is part of the prophecy. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So anybody that wants to do business or use their bank account or anything like that is going to have to get the mark of the beast, either in their forehead or in their hand, and they're going to have to bow down to this image of this false god and profess their allegiance to it. Don't do it, by the way, because go to chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Yeah, don't do it. God has a plan to take care of us, and he will. Verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. All of you who have repented of your sins and have been baptized, when you go down into the water, you die. Your old self dies, and you come up a child of Christ. That's what this is talking about. those of you who have been baptized and done what it says, here you are in verse 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his head a sharp sickle. You're going to be taken care of. You're going to be blessed. God knows who you are, and he will take care of you. Why? Well, because he wants you to do things for him. While all of this stuff's going on in the world and all this chaos is coming down throughout the world and this beast and the mark of the beast and all that stuff is going on, he wants you to do things, certain things. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 11. Verse 21, it says, well, no, we're going to go on down. Don't need to go read all that stuff. We'll go on down to, go down to verse 31. An arm shall stand on his part. This is the guy that's in charge when all of this stuff is going on. It says, verse 31, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And this talk is talked about in Matthew chapter 24. It talks about the abomination that maketh desolate. And we might as well go over there, read that, before we go any further on this so you understand. Chapter 24 of Matthew says in verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. So when you see this happen, the abomination of desolation and this beast and the image and everything put up, and the guy that's in charge makes everybody have to do this mark of the beast thing, you'll know the end is getting real close. And it says, back in Daniel chapter 11, that after this has been done, let's go down to verse 33. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. That's you guys. You understand who God is. You know his commandments. You've been baptized. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. And you know what needs to be done. And it says you're going to instruct many. This is why he wants you to stick around. Because he doesn't want to lose everybody on the planet. He wants you guys to go and tell as many people as you can about who he is and what he wants them to do. That they need to repent of their sins and they need to be baptized and that he's going to take care of them. So this is going to be your job while all this is going on. Do you think he's just going to let you do it without helping you? No, he's got a plan in place. It says, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days, just like it said in Revelation. I will probably be killed because I can't keep my mouth shut. It's going to be all right. Some of you others out there in the ministry, you might be taken and killed too, but somebody's got to stick around to do the rest of the stuff, so we're not all going to get killed by them, just some. And when it happens, this is what it says. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help. You'll be helped. He's got stuff in mind. He's going to help you get through this. Okay? Just go back to the time of Moses. Okay, put yourself back there. You're at the river with your family for the first time. Okay, you've been to the mountain. You heard God's voice. You saw the thunder and the fire and felt the ground shake and all that stuff. You've been wandering, going through the wilderness for 3 months. And now you're finally at the river and you're there for 40 days. And those guys that Moses sent out come back and tell you that the land is great, but it's full of giants and we don't want to cross. And everybody that's older than 20 years old or 20 and up says, nope, not going across. God says, fine, don't go across. You're going to wander in the wilderness. For the next 40 years, you're going to follow me wherever I lead you. And you moms aren't ever going to have to worry about what's for supper. Because it's going to be manna and quail, or quail and manna, or quail casserole, or manna porridge, or that's what it's going to be. The kids don't even have to ask anymore. Mom, what's for supper? Because you know what you're going to get for the next 40 years. But you're going to live, and he's going to take care of you. And then you're going to cross the river after all the old people are dead. Okay? And the young people are going to go across. Those that are under the age of 20, they're going across. But he left two old people, Joshua and Caleb. They get across. He's going to take care of us when these things are going on in our time. He took care of them. He'll take care of us. He says, I will help you with a little help get through all of this. You're not going to go and kill this beast or the guy that's doing all this stuff. No, I got other people that are going to do this. Michael's going to show up in chapter 12 of Daniel. Michael shows up and he's the one. Michael the archangel, he's the one that actually goes and kills this guy. All right? But we're going to make it. He says, I will help you with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. A lot of people in the world are going to see that we're actually making it, and they're going to see that we have miracles performed, and they're going to see that we actually know who God is, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to come and say, oh, you guys are wonderful. This is amazing, the things that God has done for you. And they're going to want to stick around. And that's good. 35, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white. Yeah, some of us will die. But it's going to purge the rest of us that don't. We will be cleansed. And it says, to make them white. Your robes will become white and spotless because your knowledge and faith is going to increase, and your robes will be white, even to the time of the end. because it is yet for a time appointed. So this is going to happen. You guys are going to be seeing some amazing things happen. And it's going to be okay, because God has a plan. Turn to the book of Alma. So I had a friend of mine ask me, well, while all of this is going on, page 461, while all this is going on, do I have to just lay down and take it? Or can I defend my family? Yes. Yeah, you can defend your family. In fact, you better defend your family. Page 461 in the book of Alma, chapter 20, verse 50 says, nevertheless, the Nephites were inspired by a better cause. For they were not fighting for monarchy nor power, but they were fighting for their homes and their liberties, their wives and their children and their all. Yea, excuse me, for their rights of worship and their church. And they were doing that which they felt was the duty which they owed to their God. For the Lord had said unto them and also unto their fathers, this is what God told them, that is, inasmuch as ye are not guilty of the first offense, neither the second, ye shall not suffer yourselves to be slain by the hands of your enemies. You defend your families. You defend your right to worship God the way he has commanded you. It says, and again the Lord saith that ye shall defend your families even unto bloodshed. Therefore, for this cause were the Nephites contending with the Lamanites, to defend themselves and their families and their lands, their country, and their rights and their religion. Yeah. You have the right to defend yourself. Now, defense is different than offense. You don't have the right to just go out and kill all the unbelievers. No, that's not what it's saying. You have the right to defend, okay? When they attack, you have the right to defend. But you don't have the right to go out and just kill them because they're unbelievers. No. You have a right to go out and convert them, okay? That's your job, besides defending. Go out and convert the unbelievers. This is what we're supposed to do. You all know who A.J. Berwick is, right? He had a dream quite a few years ago. And in this dream, he's standing in a house with two other guys. And it's a house out on some property, like a farmhouse. And there's glass, there's windows on the front of the house. And he said you could see down the driveway, and there's a white fence on either side of the driveway all the way down to the road. And he says they're standing there, and they see two pickup trucks pull up to the driveway on the road. And they can see off in the distance the landscape of the city, buildings and stuff sticking up, you know, way out in the distance. But they could see that the city was on fire and that there was bombs and rockets going off and stuff. And these two trucks pull up at the end of the driveway. And there's soldiers in the backs of both of these pickup trucks. And they jump out and they start coming up the driveway. And in the cab of the pickup trucks, AJ said in the dream you could see demons that were driving the cab. And AJ and the two guys that were with him said, AJ said in the dream, we were like, well, what, you know, guys, what are we going to do? And they looked down on the floor in the house were some duffel bags. He said they unzipped the duffel bags and it was full of guns, rifles and stuff. AJ said that he picked up a gun, it had a scope and it had a magazine clip and everything. And the other two guys picked up some guns and they ran out the door and they get up to the fence. And AJ says he's taking aim. And he's aiming at these soldiers that are coming up the road toward him, that are firing at them. And AJ said he started shooting. And he's looking through the scope, and he's shooting at these soldiers, and none of them are falling down. And he gets frustrated, and he puts his gun down, and he realizes he's been shooting at a fence post right in front of him. Okay? So all he's been doing is looking through the scope, but he was actually in front of a fence post and he wasn't hitting nobody. And he gets disgusted and he turns around and he sees that the two guys that were in the house with him are on the ground on their knees. They've put their weapons down and there's a demon on a white horse. And these two guys are bowing down to this demon on a white horse. And AJ said that he saw that and he just picked up his gun and shot the demon like 4 or 5 times. And he said the bullets just went through the demon like it was nothing, like it was going through film. And he said the demon looked at him and told him, "Stop that. It's irritating." And AJ realized that his gun wasn't going to do any good against fighting this demon. So he dropped the gun and he started running. He said he ran and he ran and he ran over some hills and stuff through the fields. And he comes to his house and he runs in his house and there's a guy inside his house. And the guy, as he said, was a big burly guy and had a beard and stuff. And he said, he tells the guy, "We got to lock the door. We got to hide. The demons are coming." And he said the guy looked at him and went over to unlock the door. And AJ said he realized this guy was going to unlock the door and let the demon in his house. So AJ said, and he was not proud of this part in the dream, but he said, "I came up behind the guy, grabbed him by the head and twisted his neck, and killed him. And the guy fell down dead. And the demon was right there at the door of the house, and he was going to come in. And AJ ran through the house, and he hid in a closet. And he said that he's in this closet, and he can hear the demon. And he can hear the demon coming up to the door of the closet. He said he could actually see through the wall of the closet the demon standing outside, reaching for the doorknob of the closet. And AJ said in the dream, he dropped down to his knees and he started praying. And as he was praying, he said he could see light come down through the ceiling of the closet. And the light just covered him, just surrounded him with this bright light. And then he looked and he saw that he was covered in armor and that he had a shield on his arm. And he got up. And he took the shield and he said he just burst through the door. And he said when he burst through the door, the eyes of the demon just got big. And the demon ran, took off. Because AJ had put on the armor of God. Now AJ wanted to know what the dream meant before he told us. He said, "I want to know what this dream means." He says it was real. And I wanted to know. And so he said, "I want you guys to pray." And so I prayed and I was listening to the dream and God told me what the dream was and what it meant. The enemy is not the people. Okay? The enemy is Satan. That's who we're going to be fighting. And the only way that you're going to be able to defeat him and free these people who have been caught up in his lies is for you to put on the armor of God. That's the only way it's going to work. And in order to put on the armor of God, you have to pray. Now remember, I was reading this stuff, it says that those who know God and endure to the end. Okay? The word endure means the same thing as to abide. Like in the Bible, where in the book of John, where it says, "Abide in me, abide in the vine, and you'll not be cast off and burnt in the fire." So you have to endure to the end. Turn to the book of Moroni, chapter 8. Verse 29. This is what you have to do if you haven't been baptized yet. This is where you're going to start. This is on page 771. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling the commandments. And the fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer. Yeah, pray. You want to put on the armor of God and keep it on you and be able to withstand all the stuff that's coming at you, that's going to be here? Pray. Diligently. The Book of Mormon tells us that we're supposed to pray all the time. It says, pray by diligence unto prayer until the end shall come, when all the saints shall dwell with God. Okay, the Book of Mormon tells us that when you wake up, you say prayer. When you eat your breakfast, you say prayer. When you go to work, you say prayer. When you eat your lunch, you say prayer. In the middle of your day, whatever time is the middle of your day, you say prayer. When you eat supper, you say prayer. When you go to bed, you say prayer. And if there's any reason for any kind of person asking you for prayers during the day, you pray for them. And in the meantime, when you're not doing all these specified prayers, he just wants you to pray in your heart and talk to him and tell him what's going on in your life. Just say, God, this is what's going on, and I have questions on this and that, and, you know, I really appreciate everything you've done for me and stuff. If you could give me an answer to this one question, I'd appreciate it. Or if you could help me do my job better at work, I'd appreciate that. You know, things that, I don't know what to do about this guy that I'm working with or working for, or I don't know about what to do about this teacher, or you know, just talk to him when you're not doing all these other specific prayers. Endure to the end in prayer diligently, and you're going to be fine. Okay? So, do you have anything to worry about? Well, not really from what I just told you, but are you going to be concerned? Probably. Yeah. But don't forget, God has a plan. He's planned this stuff out from the get-go. He knows what's coming. It's written down in the book. And he knows what you're going to need to get through it. So it's going to be all right. He promised. Okay? I love you all. Have a good night.